Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I don't know where we go from here in 2026, because this is a hell of a way to start the year. The capture of President Nicolas Maduro and his wife. So they were flown to New York, where they are now in federal custody and expected to appear in court on charges related to drug trafficking and narco-terrorism. Now, that's again, to me, that's a Hollywood word. This whole thing is Hollywood. I'm fascinated by what this all means, on what basis it was done, which is why we've asked John Day, who is an attorney based in the United States, to stay up late there just to chat to us. John, a very, very good morning, first of all, or evening for you. All the best for 2026.
Well, thank you, Howard, and you too, and thanks for having me.
So it's a fascinating story. Can you outline the legal authority under which he was captured, detained, and brought to the United States? I can't imagine that Donald Trump did this without looking into the legality of it.
Right. So what happened was Maduro and his wife had been indicted in the U.S. federal judicial system and the indictments have been standing for a long time. The allegations are that they engaged in this wide-ranging conspiracy to traffic drugs through Venezuela, Mexico, allegations that they did things like sell diplomatic passports or give diplomatic passports to cartel members. The allegations are that they worked with members of the drug cartels in Venezuela and Mexico to traffic drugs to the United States. And these things have been, the indictments have been standing for a while. They've just been added to, they've been amended recently, but there is a process in the US judicial system. And we saw it with Noriega in Panama about 35 years ago, where the leader of a country is indicted in the US federal courts, and the U.S. sends in troops to snatch the leader and bring them back to the U.S. to trial. That's what happened to Noriega from Panama, and that's what's happening right now with Maduro and his wife. So it's a process in the U.S. that they basically call it sort of an extraordinary rendition process, but the operation was under the guise of law enforcement moving in, picking up this defendant and his wife and bringing them back to the U.S. to appear in American courts.
Does he have any authority? Is there any protection for him or immunity based on the fact that he is a head of state? I'll give them a nuance to that once you've given me an understanding of that.
Well, there's no specific immunity or special treatment. He's considered to be a defendant like any other. Now, as far as the practicalities, he and his wife are going to be housed in detention centers that are not very pleasant. They'll obviously be in sort of separate protected areas for people who are high profile defendants. But no, there's nothing. It's not like he's going right now to some country club prison or somewhere where they get, you know, private masseuses and chefs or anything. It's not a great situation for him. It's actually a pretty horrible jail in New York City where he and his wife are going to be held. First appearance in court will be tomorrow morning, or in your case later on this afternoon for you. But it's going to be fascinating to see him appearing. And, you know, he apparently had lots of warning that this might happen. I mean, apparently the Trump administration was trying to work some kind of a deal where he would flee to Turkey or someplace like that and go into exile, but he didn't want to do it. And so this is a process in the American justice system, and he'll now appear, he'll have a court, first court appearance, and then a trial probably within a year or maybe a little longer than a year.
Is the fact that he's in New York, is that where he should have been sent, or is this also a bit of a thumb to Mamdani as he becomes mayor of a city where he obviously would be very unhappy about this happening?
Right. Interesting timing, isn't it? With the just 2 days, 3 days after Mamdani was sworn in as mayor of New York City. No, it's because the indictment was brought in what's called the Southern District of New York, which is sort of the hotbed of activity in the American judicial system, like the best prosecutors, the experienced judges, and things like that. But there has to be some link to that district, and so the indictment alleges that there were drugs trafficked that wound up within that judicial jurisdiction. So that's why he's in New York, and they had to fly him to New York. But under these circumstances, wherever these defendants touched down first in the US is where the jurisdiction attaches. So that's why he had basically, it looks like he was flown from maybe Guantanamo Bay in Cuba to an air base outside of New York City.
In terms of the international law and sovereignty, I mean, we're seeing a lot of criticism of Trump for detaining a sitting head of state without a UN mandate. How did the US get around that? Is that just relying on those? On the fact that he had previously been indicted.
Yes, that's the short answer. Yes, it's relying on the fact that he's under indictment, and there is a process within American judicial or with American jurisprudence where someone who's under indictment can be picked up in another country and brought back to face the music in an American court. So it's not extrajudicial. It's not, now you can certainly, this is not, this is apart from the entire. You know, is this really about the oil? Is it a boy? What's it really about? But this is very specific to the indictment that Maduro and his wife are under right now. So it's not coming out of nowhere. It's not happening in a vacuum. There is a history. There's a backstory about how he got indicted, and there is a procedure to get people, whether they're heads of state or ordinary criminal defendants. This is the same procedure that's used. Of course, this is much more high profile, and this involved basically in the invasion of Venezuela by the American military, which is not usually how defendants are brought back. But you know, there's so much to unpack here, Howard. But as far as the legal side of it, this is a process. This is something that's established within the American judicial system.
And in terms of his wife, why was she included in this? Is there an indictment against her as well?
Well, she's named and as a specific and a key player in the conspiracy. I mean, there's a lot of information in the indictments about allegations that she was engaged in selling these diplomatic passports that would enable drug cartel members to travel freely without their luggage being inspected, for example, things like that. So apparently, the allegation is she's a key player in this conspiracy with the cartels of Mexico and Venezuela, with the drug gangs that they call narco terrorists. By the way, that's a word that is relatively new. We weren't hearing about that all the years prior, but now that is sort of the definition now of the cartel traffickers under the Trump administration. So, but she, the wife, is also named as a specific player, and it's not just that you know, tagged along on the arrest. She was actually someone who law enforcement says was a key player in these conspiracies.
Let's just talk about the future of Venezuela, because what has confused this as well is the fact that it seems as though the US is saying we'll keep a very close eye on the country there until a new leader is put in place. And there also seems to be some influence as to who that leader might not be or be. So that obviously adds a very different element to the whole case. Give us your thoughts on that.
Right. So I think Donald Trump stunned the US and the world when he said the US now runs Venezuela. What does that mean? Does it mean American proconsuls going in and establishing courts and running the media? And or does it mean that he's opening up, he wants to open it up to American oil companies to go in and rebuild the oil infrastructure? I mean, and it's unclear. And I think that we saw the Secretary of State Rubio was trying to walk that back a little bit. And then there's confusion over who within the current government is going to be working with the US and how they're going to be doing that. And they're conflicting stories. Apparently, the vice president, who's now been sworn in as the, I guess, acting president of Venezuela, was saying that first she was resistant to the American action, and then she's now apparently saying we're going to cooperate with the Americans. So who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But the idea that Trump is saying we're going to run this country of almost 30 million people that's larger than, much larger than the state of California, when there's really no military presence there right now, I think shocked everybody. And I don't think anybody has any real sense of what that means yet. You know, you can look at Iraq and Afghanistan as recent examples of how well did those turn out. Is it going to be similar? So a lot of confusion, no real certainty in what that means when Trump says we're going to run the country. Remember, he also said that he was going to run Gaza. I mean, is he following up on that? I mean, we don't know what this means in the practicality of running a country, and he has a lot on his plate.
What has been the reaction of Democrats and Republicans who obviously weren't aware of this?
Right. Interesting. So he did not involve Congress, which, you know, of course, in the new Trump world, Congress is sort of a annoying sidebar to the authoritarian work that he's trying to do on the executive branch. He says that if he had brought Congress in and consulted with them prior to the invasion, there might have been leaks. And there's certainly some arguments to be made that on an operation like that, you don't want anybody knowing about it ahead of time. There's arguments on both sides. But Democrats have, not entirely unanimously, but a lot of condemnation of the action. No one's saying Maduro was anything other than a brutal dictator who's actually under investigation by the international criminal courts for torture and things like that. So Democrats, I think, are saying this should have been something that went through Congress. Republicans, by and large, are supporting it. But I think if you're an elected senator or a congressperson, you're going to be saying we need to be part of this because only Congress under the U.S. Constitution can declare war.
John, before we let you go, so later today, our time, he is going to appear in court. What is that going to be about? What can we expect?
It's his arraignment. It's his first appearance before a judge where the charges get read to Maduro and his wife, and obviously going to plead not guilty. This starts the process in the American courts for, you know, culminating in a trial or a plea. Most likely this case will go beyond a year. A lot of cases are, the cases in federal court are supposed to move really rapidly, but this is obviously a complex case. And so I think if anything happens as far as a trial, it's going to be at least a year before that happens. In the meantime, he'll stay in custody. No chance, obviously, that he's going to get released on any kind of a bond. But it's his first engagement with the court system. And we'll find out. He'll probably get a lawyer appointed to him unless he can afford to hire some high-profile lawyers. We don't know how that's going to work. But it's
John, you haven't got the call yet.
I got my phone right here, Howard, waiting. Actually, what I need to do is join you in Mauritius because it's cold here. But
it's not a bad option. John, is there a possibility that they will argue? Is there opportunity today for them to argue jurisdiction and the fact that he shouldn't have been detained in the first place?
Right. It won't happen today at the arraignment, but it is going to be an argument I think you can anticipate from whatever defense lawyers he gets and his wife gets, that this was an illegal seizure, and that that's going to be one of the arguments I think we're going to be seeing. But there's a lot to these things are happening so fast, not only the judicial process, but then what's happening in Venezuela and what is the U.S. going to look like as far as an occupying power or not. So it remains to be seen, Howard.
Absolutely fascinating. John Day, thank you. As always, thank you for staying up late to chat to us.